This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. We always appreciate you. Today, we're going to be talking to one of our favorite guests, Linda Ricks. She is co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run Aview Central and a number of other sites. We'll talk about them today. A number of other initiatives as a veterans, firefighters, wildland firefighters, and everything else that's going on out there. Things that are in the news that are very, very important issues. She's always on top of what's going on with this federal market, whether it be careers, whether it be small businesses or medium-sized businesses, contracting. She's on top of it, and that's why we love to have her here. Linda, thank you for coming on back to Fed Access. We always love to have you. You know, you recently were you know, in front of Congress. You had the pleasure of being called as a subject matter expert to testify in front of Congress. What was that about?
Well, it was about whether or not the OPM's revolving fund, which is a $2 billion annual revenue enterprise, whether there was waste in that fund and waste in the processes used and the kinds of things that OPM is doing to manage that fund. So that was the subject matter of the day.
Is it a dynamic of, because OPM, you know, a lot of people don't know, I think with USA Jobs and security, when people hear that agencies have to get security clearances or they have to put stuff on USA Jobs, there are fees involved that the people have to pay OPM, the Office of Personnel Management, to provide these services. A lot of people think it's just government to government and there's nothing involved. It's just two agencies working together, but that's not the case, is it?
No, it isn't. And the fees that OPM charges have no... There's no pricing structure. We were on the panel with OPM's IG, and the IG is basically saying there's no transparency in pricing. There's no way to know whether the fees are legitimate or not, and there's no competition. It's all monopolistic. There's no contracting competition. There's no competitive processes being used, and it represents right now. It represents $2 billion a year. And with a estimated
of them earning from fees,
of them earning fees from agencies that pay them to get something done, and of course their biggest monopoly is in the federal background investigations process, which with the Snowden thing and all of that is kind of interesting, but they're a big share of their revenues is $800 million. That is collected annually from agencies for HR services, mostly around recruitment and staffing.
You know, I mean, because your company has done a lot of stuff in terms of federal recruitment, you know, application processes. I mean, do agencies have the ability to choose on if they want to go to a contractor like you, I know accepted service agencies can sometimes do things differently.
Right.
Or if it's not accepted service agency, are they required to go to OPM and pay these fees where there is no competition or anything like that? I mean, is there choices that can be made?
Not really.
Okay.
And that was a lot of what we spoke to was the inherent conflict of interest that OPM has because they're the regulator. And the way things work in the government is the president delegates hiring authority to OPM, and OPM then redelegates that hiring authority to the secretaries of the agencies.
Okay.
And if OPM finds that they don't particularly like the practice that you're using, or if it's out of bounds from a regulatory standpoint, they can revoke your hiring authority. And in the case, I heard the Chico at the time of the VA spoke at a conference, and he said, yeah, we were almost going to lose our hiring authority, but OPM told us if we use their products, that would be unlikely.
Like the mafia almost.
So it's kind of like, well, are you telling us we have to do this? Or
the men in black suits come in and say, if you use our products, then you'll be okay. We won't break your legs.
Right. And he actually said this publicly, and I thought that was the first time I'd ever heard a Chico actually articulate that. And then in subsequent years, they became very captive to OPM. So VA pays OPM about $200 million a year in staffing services. And that was actually part of our testimony was it's partially that's the issue, the conflict of interest in that. The other part of it that's the issue is it's antiquated technologies. Mm. And because it is, it adds cost and waste into the hiring process. And it elongates the amount of time it takes to get it done, how much labor goes into it and everything else.
Sure.
So the example we used was from the time period of 2008 to 2012, the VA paid OPM $200 million a year. In addition to that, they grew their own HR workforce and increased their HR workforce payroll by $100 million a year. So now we're at $300 million. And they contracted out for HR services at the rate of $16 million a year.
Wow.
And they did media buys for recruiting. Their total media buy spend was $100 million. So we're not sure exactly what percentage of that was just for recruiting. But they also represent 40% of the job postings on USA Jobs on any given day. So what we basically calculated was that for between $300 to $400 million a year that they were spending in additional funding, what we learned was in 2012 they hired 13,475 fewer people in 2012 than they did in 2008.
Okay.
Despite spending $300 million more a year in that process. And so one of our biggest issues is the stifling of innovation. Mm-hmm. If OPM is an innovation inhibitor, then the government does not have the advantage of creating more efficient systems and processes. And because of that, that's creating waste because of the cost burden.
Right.
So you got the conflict of interest. You've got, you know, this sort of innovation inhibitor is what I call it.
Sure.
And then at the end of the day, OPM's own workforce, 72% of its workforce, is dependent on these revenues and these fees from agencies. So they've loaded up, and their growth has been not in the core mission, which is compliance and the merit system and all that, but their growth has actually been over in the revenue side. So that creates more of an incentive to continue the practice.
You know, and we've talked about this before. When the new USA Jobs version came online, there was a lot of kind of backlash on it because it wasn't operating up to standards. And this is where we kind of talk about this old technology of sorts, where there, you know, are possible better ways to recruit that are out there in the private sector or other sectors that maybe agencies can't tap into. I mean, what's your thoughts? I mean, as you know, because you can look at it from both sides. You've worked within government. Mm-hmm. You've been on this side of developing a product for government. Mm-hmm. Do you think that a USA Jobs is necessary? Or do you think that we should allow agencies to go out and just like, you know, like accepted service agency, like CIA can hire their own way and, you know, such and such can hire their own way? I mean, what's the best model, do you think?
I think what we've learned is that fewer and fewer companies are using big job boards.
Okay.
So, and what we're finding is, and I think the latest stat that I saw was from I think a year ago, where only 16% of new hires in private companies are coming from job boards.
Hmm. They're using more their own internal sites.
They're using social media.
Okay. Big time. Okay.
And in reality, the only reason OPM has USA Jobs is there was a statute a long time ago that said that agencies needed to publicly post positions in order for employees who had been riffed or laid off at DOD to be able to see positions so that they could be rehired or restored to previous employment. And the result of that was it morphed into USA Jobs. And now the problem with it is Now we got a job board that is really useless. And if we really wanted to do public notice posting, we would encourage agencies to go to LinkedIn, amp up their Facebook pages, you know, do these other things that are generating more traffic.
Sure. Is USA Jobs, I mean, I know, you know, and they don't really never advertise it too much. Is it generating the traffic? I mean, everybody complains that there are so many job applicants for one posting on USA Jobs. You know, is it a matter that it's not getting to the right people? Is it a matter of that, you know, we've got a system that we need to have this more outreach to more targeted communities for some postings, which will require HR person to possibly do a little bit more work or in terms of outreach and recruitment? I mean, what is the right answer on that?
Well, the use of USA Jobs is not recruitment.
Okay.
But it's widely considered to be recruitment in the federal HR community because it's mandated. And frankly, it's you know, if you're using AV and you're posting USA Jobs, it's a one-click post.
Right.
I mean, one click and boom, you're there, right?
Right.
So it's not particularly difficult. And the problem we have with it is, even though it's posted on USA Jobs, the principal users of USA Jobs are current federal employees.
So you're not getting much outreach. Sure.
And while it's true that federal employees, you know, do move from agency to agency a great deal, they don't move from outside government inside government. So that's another area where innovation gets curtailed because you do need people who have experiences that are non-governmental to bring that experience into government, and people who are in government to take their experience to the private sector, where, you know, it can be applied as well. So, so the idea was to create more movement within the federal community. This is the whole idea behind FERS retirement system was to create this movement. So I think that's where you really get disturbed. And for the VA,
Hold that. We're coming up. Hold that thought. I want to take a quick break, and I want to continue what you're talking about. And also, because, you know, we've got a dynamic of a timetable that people apply but never hear anything back. People apply. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time to hire people. People apply, and there's all these problems even after you apply.
Yep.
So I want to talk about that. Is that because of technology? Is there a way that we can speed up this process if we did unleash and then say, hey, don't just use USA Jobs or use other tools?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about that when we come back. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She is co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run AviewCentral.com and a number of other things. You can find them at AviewTech.com, and you can find Aview Central at avcentral.com. But we are talking about the federal hiring process, the federal government process that's going on in terms of recruitment. We'll be talking about veterans a little bit later. We're talking about firefighting, talking about a number of different things a little bit later on in the show. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking to Linda Ricks. She is co-CEO of Aview Technologies. You can find them at aviewtech.com. They run a job site for federal applicants where you can go in and post and find jobs and apply for a number of their different client agencies. You can find it at aviewcentral.com, but they're doing a number of other things we'll be talking about today. But Linda recently had a chance to testify in front of Congress about OPM, about USA Jobs, about the dynamics of OPM having this monopoly in terms of federal agencies having to use them to post job recruitment services and other services that they have. Linda, you know, with all of that, you know, we were just talking about this monopoly, and a lot of people can still complain about the federal hiring process. I mean, either a black hole, you know, I put it in, I never hear anything back, I can't get, you know, hired. I'm referred, but no one ever called me back. You know, I never got a call, never got anything. Okay. Also the time, you know, still, you know, where it used to, there was a time period that OPM was saying, we want to cut this thing down to 45 days, or we want, you know, they had these kind of numbers in which, and none of that has seemed to have come to fruition. Is this a result of this monopoly dynamics? Is this a result of, you know, an antiquated system? If we use more LinkedIn, if we use more outreach, could we speed up the process, find better applicants, get people in government better?
Yeah, I think it is in part part of the kind of lagging technology choices that people are offered and that agencies have made to use a lot of OPM's products. And the one example that really struck me is I was sitting at home in Tacoma, Washington, and I turn on the news, and a commercial for the VA comes on, and I think this was CNN or something like that. So it was not inexpensive.
Right, sure.
And so I see this commercial about, you know, we are looking for healthcare professionals to come to work for the VA, blah, blah, blah. So I go out to USA Jobs to find out how many job postings are out there for the VA, and there were 3,800. Okay. So after I see this expensive ad and I want to go to work for the VA, I go to USA Jobs and I have 3,800 positions individually posted that I have to go sort through and filter through and then do an application. And let's say it's for a particular posting and I don't get that position, but I want to still work for the VA because I really am enamored with the whole concept of providing that public service to veterans. And so I go back and I have to do it all over again.
For another posting.
For another posting. Sure. And
so that, if you were a nurse, you had to apply. If you saw 10 different postings, you apply in 10 different times.
Right. And that's the process where that workload adds a lot of waste in terms of it's a huge amount of labor cost. The VA should be able to use either a specialized recruitment site, for example, just for nurses, just for critical care nurses, or whatever their priority hiring needs are. You should be able to apply one time, be considered for all those opportunities, and not have to continuously search to find the opportunity and then have to reapply. And I think that's indicative of waste of money on the ad. Because now we've got a very cumbersome process, and we've communicated in the ad that we are really urgently seeking healthcare professionals. Right. And oh, by the way, now you get to go through this, you know, months-long process to do that. And so I find it, you know, off-putting to the candidates, and I think that's indicative of where the government needs to change its strategy around recruitment. And I think that OPM needs to change its strategy and in effect, instead of rescinding delegations of authority and instead of curtailing delegation, increase the delegation so that agencies can do what makes sense for their mission. And I think that's where the underlying problem is everybody thinks it's one size fits all. Everybody should go to USA Jobs and use USA Jobs when it doesn't really fit your mission.
Right.
I think that's the...
And break this down for me. Is an agency like the VA, and I've been on USA Jobs, and I see plenty of healthcare jobs, you know, and you know, we always talk about healthcare as a hiring moment right now. If you're a nurse, you can get a job, and that's not just at the VA. That's just across the board.
Right.
I mean, a lot of hospitals are competing for a shortage of nurses, and so the VA is coming up against a competitive market. Same thing with IT professionals. I mean, certain IT professionals are in demand, and so is it a matter of that the VA, because of they're basically a competitive service agency. They're not accepted service.
Right.
They have to follow certain rules that OPM have laid out. So they don't have the flexibility. Is that the case? They don't have the flexibility to do to change this process around?
I think that is not the major contributor to the problem, nor would I say it's a dominant contributor. What I would say is the regulatory framework is not that difficult to apply. But we do have a shortage of seasoned professionals in the HR practitioner community. I think if you went to any Chico in the government today and asked them,
the chief human capital officer,
and asked them, how do you feel about your bench strength? Do you need to upskill your workforce? What do you need to be paying attention to? I think they would tell you that they are concerned. Particularly with retirement threat, that they're going to be left with people who are less and less skilled in this particular area. So it takes a fairly highly refined level of expertise that people don't really associate with this. And if you have that, the regulatory framework is pretty smooth. You can be completely compliant and
you can get
quite
certain
flexible.
Authorities, you can get direct hiring or other things like that to do certain things.
Right. And even if you have to post individual jobs, you can build great efficiency around that.
Would those hiring authorities allow them to go out to other sites? Like you just mentioned, if it was a tailored nursing site, you know, just as they put this ad up, does that hiring authority give them the flexibility to say, we don't want to use USA Jobs, we want to go out here and recruit that way? Or is there something that stops that process?
The only thing that stops that process is they must use USA Jobs, but they can, in addition, do whatever other recruiting. And we... you know, we basically advise, you know, our customers as well as, you know, just anybody who's doing recruiting. Use social media.
Right.
Get out there.
Right.
And get
right.
in front of people, particularly with all of the issues we have right now with unemployment mm-hmm. and everything else. Getting out there and building your bench strength, because the government retirement threat is very real and is right. very big.
Right, right. You know, in all of this, I mean, because it sounds as if there's a way to, like you said, get around these things.
Yeah.
I mean, the troubling dynamic to me is that it seems as if no one's using it, and it seems to be maybe the lack of training for the HR people, maybe mm-hmm. the lack of awareness for all these tools, mm-hmm. The lack of, you know, the dynamic of saying maybe some people have just gotten so caught up into government recruiting land that they all don't right. necessarily look at, you know, what else is out there in terms of outreach and in private sector. Is it more of the lack of training, the lack of awareness? And because what you're telling me is that people, if you know how to do it,
right.
you can work around it.
Right. Well, partly what I would say is you can work within it with ease.
So it's okay.
Because,
but it's still not always easy, though, huh?
Because I don't think you need to work around it.
Okay.
There's plenty of flexibility.
Okay.
But I would say that because what HR practitioners are measured on is their compliance with regulations
rather than their
not the quality of the hire.
Candidate. Okay. Okay.
That you have to change the incentive.
Okay. And really the dynamics is, like you said, if I check box all my compliance piece, mm-hmm. but maybe I didn't get the best candidate. Okay. Whatever. We'll figure that out later. And since there is no real consequence to the HR person, so
right.
to say, where in the private sector, there's a consequence of a bad hire.
Yes.
You know, where money could be lost or things like
exactly.
that. Then that's where we're coming up against this piece of, you know, quality versus compliance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And in the private sector, the human resources community has a completely different relationship with management than you find in the federal sector.
Mm-hmm.
The federal sector, there's a lot of compliance and policing mm-hmm. activity that goes on. In the private sector, it's flipped. To where if the HR organization ends up being a cost burden
mm-hmm.
and is getting poor results,
mm-hmm.
then that organization has to step up its mm-hmm. game mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. they are held accountable
right.
for that.
Right, right.
So there's a difference.
Some major consequences. People
right.
get fired or, you know,
yeah, exactly.
outsource the HR department and everything else. We have to take yeah. a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about your veterans initiative. You've got
okay.
Vet HQ going on.
Love to.
And then we could talk about these other issues with USA Jobs all day. But I do want to talk about your vet because you've been focusing on vets. It's an
yep.
important issue to me as well. We're talking to Linda Rick. She is co-CEO of Aview Technologies. You can find them at aviewtech.com. They also run a job site called aviewcentral.com. It's a federal job site where you can find federal jobs and then also apply off of that site as well. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about a number of issues. What's going on in terms of federal recruitment?
Mm-hmm.
Recently, we had our guest, Linda Ricks, who's on the show right now. She recently went in front of Congress to talk about OPM, their dynamics and services to agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a monopoly? We've been having an interesting conversation. Should there be a monopoly by OPM, and should there not be? Should we kind of outsource this a little bit more? Should we bring in more private sector companies to provide recruitment services, maybe more background investigations or whatever? All right, what's the right mode within that? Go back and listen to that piece right there. Maybe you'll have your own views about that. But what we want to talk about right now is what Aview Technologies is focusing on veteran issues. You're starting a new mm-hmm. site. A lot of people are coming up, Linda, with a number of different sites.
Mm-hmm.
Your company that you're co-CEO, Aview Technologies, you've been focusing on veteran issues, and you're about to launch a new site, I think vethq.com. Is that
Vets,
right?
Vets HQ.
Vetshq.com.
Uh-huh.
Talk to me about what's going on.
Yeah, well, We actually have had a long, long partnership with the American Legion, probably 8 or 9 years. And we've been providing a variety of services to Legion members. Like we have an MOS translator
mm-hmm.
that takes your MOS and helps you determine what kinds of jobs you would qualify mm-hmm. for in both private industry as well as right. in the public sector. And so as part of what we've been hearing about The difficulty in benefits administration mm-hmm. and the difficulty in some of these other things that veterans are encountering, we've kind of always, you know, had our heart is there, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. To try to
Heart's
do something.
In the right place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we recently started working with a group out of California called Applied Military Training.
Okay.
And they are actually a .org that is funded principally by the agricultural and manufacturing industries.
Okay.
And the purpose of that is to get more and more folks into a more higher ed oriented, potentially graduate level agricultural research okay. and other disciplines like that that support those industries.
Okay.
And there's a very serious decline in the number of people pursuing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based in California because California's a big agriculture
sure,
community.
Sure, sure.
So they
getting
have
out
partnered.
Getting out to Fresno and all the other kind of areas out
exactly.
there.
Exactly. Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where they're headquartered.
Mm-hmm.
And so AMT asked us for help. We actually met at a American Legion convention.
Okay.
And they asked for some help, and so we partner with them, and what we've done is we've created a couple of things that are pretty unique. One is a TurboTax method of applying for all of your benefits through mm-hmm. one single application process. Mm-hmm. So there
okay.
are 383 veterans benefits forms.
Okay.
Wow. And so with the TurboTax method, you just put your information in one time and
it self-populates everything.
It self-populates
wow,
everything.
That's amazing.
And then we also give you some recommendations on benefits
right.
you might
you know,
want to go ahead and apply
right.
for and things like that. But the principal way it started was with post 9/11 GI Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so AMT.
And let me hold you real quick.
Yeah.
So when you populate these forms, these mm-hmm. are all VA type forms that you
correct.
Need in order for, and I'm a veteran and the process can be kind of, you know, wow, this is, you know, so many forms
mm-hmm.
and you don't really know what to fill out. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not always clear what to fill out for what benefit or whatever
right.
case is. It's not always very, very self-explanatory.
Right.
What you're saying is that, you know, you can go in and then automatically fill out some questions and then it'll populate. So you'll, whatever form you need
right.
or that information, you can just pull that form and it's already filled out and then you can take it to the VA?
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
And then we're adding to that what we call the vault.
Okay.
And the vault is where you can store all of your scanned copies of all of your records. So all your proof documents, your DD-214s, other
mm-hmm.
types of discharge papers, medical records, mm-hmm. anything like that. You have a private vault and we're associating the proof documents required to each application for each type of benefit.
Okay.
So you create a folder that says, okay, if you're applying for this benefit,
mm-hmm.
then use, you know, hearing loss. You're going to mm-hmm. apply for benefits for hearing loss. Here's all of the application stuff as well as all of your proof documents. And then if the VA says, we didn't get your stuff or we lost your stuff,
mm-hmm.
you just go in, hit the print button, boom, you're back
you
in
got
business.
The stuff.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So
what are we thinking about in terms of, you know, once a person, because I mean, it sounds very beneficial
uh-huh.
as a vet, is there a seamless process of these forms being communicated to from you to the VA, or you still kind of have to walk through yourself?
They have to walk it through
okay.
themselves currently. We're working with the Legion because the Legion has a service to its members
right.
where they do that for
okay.
the members.
Okay. Okay.
So that's the route we're going to take
gotcha.
Over there.
Okay.
And then
the service, maybe the veteran service representative at American Legion
exactly.
will have access to, you know, or not necessarily the complete product, but they'll have access to certain things. And that stuff is already, they can just print it out
right.
rather than having a whole bunch of papers. And they got to come and be like, I got to go through this file cabinet and get you this
right.
and everything else. Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And then, they can always go back to it.
Okay.
So if something happens, you know,
right.
Lost in transmission or whatever. And then, the other exciting thing is the University of California, Riverside, and Davis campuses and 16 community colleges in California are lining up with AMT.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're getting post 9/11 GI Bill
nice.
Processing through that
okay.
and helping people get attracted to these graduate level programs
okay.
and undergrad programs in ag,
okay. Okay.
in ag research and manufacturing.
Okay.
And then we have the Work Opportunity Tax Credit,
mm-hmm.
Which is very big with, I know you were just with Walmart,
yeah,
and
sure.
They have a big commitment to hiring veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the great things that the private sector takes advantage of is this Work Opportunity Tax Credit.
Mm-hmm.
So that allows the employer to get some benefits from employing veterans,
right.
and it helps make the veterans hiring a priority in the country.
Right.
So it's pretty exciting. You get all that put together and you think, okay, we can really do something here.
You can get some momentum going in terms of veteran hiring. I mean, because from what I'm hearing, and you tell me if this is right, there are jobs in agriculture. I mean, in terms of if you go out to certain areas, there are some employment opportunities, whether it be the higher end, agriculture research and other areas, or even, you know, necessarily on other ends where you may be working on the farming dynamics and other things. And a lot of that stuff has been, you know, using technology to farm things a little bit better.
Right.
But it seems as if there's definitely some room for growth in terms of jobs there.
Yeah, exactly. And part of what they're also doing is offering internships.
Okay.
So people can enter into the ag industry and those fields.
Right.
And figure out if that's for them or not.
Okay.
You know, so there's a great kind of work experience element to it too.
Right. So. With this right here, I mean, do you see this as, you know, you're doing this, is this the agriculture for you is more of a pilot to then to kind of say, well, listen, where do we go next?
Yes.
You know, is it manufacturing? I mean, are you seeing other kind of areas that you're thinking about targeting?
You bet. And we've got that kind of as one zone. I think cybersecurity is going to be a huge zone as well. And we'll be opening a cybersecurity exchange in cooperation with some stuff we're working on with people who run the cyber camps and cyber challenges around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also working on various, not just disciplines, but like wildfire.
Right.
We think wildland firefighting is a big area for vets to work in because a lot of people, when things happen and the governor's, you know, I'm sure the governor of Colorado is sitting there watching state burn
right now.
Yeah, he's getting very anxious about it. They usually call out the National Guard or the reserves.
Right.
And those are the folks that go fight those fires.
Right.
And so there's a whole industry
of wildland firefighting.
Sure. And it's both fire suppression, but it's also fuels management, which is the more scientific side of fire is how do we help people who are homeowners, whose insurance companies want them to do a better job of fuels management so they can preserve their, you know, their principal asset.
Right.
And also, you know, making sure that people are paying attention to what can they do to preserve their lifestyle.
Right.
So all of that.
Hold that thought right there. I want to talk about that because you're swinging me right into the next segue because I've seen something about private firefighting on CNN and everything else about protecting people's homes. Insurance companies are saying we would hire some private firefighters rather than have a home burned down and then we got a $2 million or $1 million policy we got to pay out. It's cheaper to do that. I want to talk about that because it seems to be definitely a growing industry that's going on. I know you're doing some stuff with that as well. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of Aview Technology. They run aviewcentral.com, the upcoming website, vetshq.com. They'll be coming out soon. They run a number of different projects. Aview Central is their federal job site, aviewcentral.com. But we're talking about what's going on in terms of federal hiring, but then also spinning out in terms of what can veterans get into, and whether it be federal government jobs or also jobs in the private sector, agriculture, firefighting, and other places that jobs are opening up as maybe the government may not be hiring as much right now. We'll be right back after this break. You listen to Derek T. George on Federal News Radio on Fed Access. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we have been talking about the process of what's going on in terms of federal recruitment, impacts of recent congressional testimony about OPM and their services being provided to federal agencies. What do they do? Has it been cost effective? Is it being effective? Should we outsource some of their services, whether it be their recruitment side or the background investigations? We had a person who was on that congressional testimony in studio, Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies. She was on that testimony talking about the process of recruitment and services that OPM, Office of Personnel Management, provides to federal agencies. But we've been talking about much more than that. We've been talking about their veterans initiatives, vetshq.com, in which is working to try to help veterans fill out forms, get hired in certain areas, and everything else. And we've been talking about what's going on. And there's an evolving industry that vets are starting to target, mm-hmm. which is a good area, which is this private firefighting.
Right.
You know, I mean, where the national, like you mentioned before in the other segment, Linda, you know, you've got the governor calling out the National Guard. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got sometimes the you know fire Forest Service has mm-hmm. you know they're higher up you know mm-hmm. put, you know smoke jumpers and everybody else, but a lot of people are saying, you know what, it's not enough. We're mm-hmm. still losing homes mm-hmm. and everything else. So you know we may stop the fire, but insurance companies are saying we just lost you know $5 billion and everything else. So it seems as if this private firefighting industry is starting to pop up. I saw a thing on CNN about it. What are you doing with that? And do you see continued growth in this?
Yeah, actually, we read a couple of analyst reports from Wall Street on the growth of the private firefighting industry, and it grows at a rate of about 15% a year.
Wow.
So it's compounding very fast. And one of the things about it that that it's, you know, what we're seeing is firefighting and the hiring of wildland firefighters is really flatlined to declining in the federal government sector now.
Sure.
So what we're seeing is, since that's the case, who's picking that up?
Yeah.
Right. And so it turns out insurance companies are hiring private firefighters. There's a huge need at the state and local government level also.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're finding is because the federal government isn't actually keeping pace with the, you know, this whole incredibly long fire season, we're burning more, it's burning hotter and longer.
Right.
And I think the last I saw in the Colorado fires that are going on right now was they expect it'll be months and it'll have to burn itself out.
Right.
So the private firefighters are starting to get very, very strong. And
now these private firefighters, are they mm-hmm. being called in to do more prevention work? Of course, you know, as you look at firefighting, some of it's burning the grounds in front of a house in order to prevent a fire from not having anything to burn, or, you know, digging up, you know, ground so that, you know, there's kind of sand or just, you know, dirt or whatever the case is. So there isn't, is it more prevention or is it response or is it both?
It's both.
Okay.
And I think for insurance companies, particularly with higher end homes and whatnot, there's a lot of attention paid to prevention. You find in certain areas of the country that you may live in, you may find that there are requirements that you have either a swimming pool or a water source that is independent of the public water source in order to put out your fires. California has areas and locations where that's the case. So you're seeing people are having to construct their homes differently.
Mm-hmm.
They may have to sit on a water tank, that kind of thing. So what we're really seeing is as the private sector steps up here to fill this gap, the process by which employment opportunities become available is really going to really steer more towards the private firefighting companies.
That kind of leads me to a question. Mm-hmm. Are we talking about a new evolution right now in terms of, you know, firefighting just used to be something that was government.
Right.
And I mean, I think so. I mean, there's sometimes it's been some private firefighting back in the day. But, you know, in recent years and 20th mm-hmm. century, it's been a lot of government for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about a dynamic of, and since government has now become, you know, so cost cutting and they don't have the money anymore, budget reductions, you know, we got deficits and everything else, are a lot more services that government used to provide, whether it be federal, state mm-hmm. or local, are these services going to become more and more private?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're going to find that because the thing that government can't do very effectively is expand and contract. And what it does is efficiently it maintains a steady state. You know, the federal government's had between 1.8 and 1.9 million workers for 20 years.
Right.
There's been no real gain or loss.
Right.
So if you look at their ability to expand and contract based on their mission requirements and needs and their funding and budget and all that, they're just not agile. And so you end up with, well, then that work has to be done by someone. Well, the state and local governments are financially distressed because mm-hmm. of, you know, all the dynamics that are going on there. Right.
And they were dependent on federal money
sometimes.
And
they were dependent on federal money.
not getting it,
you know, so I did watch a hearing, and I forget which committee did it, but, you know, the head of the Forest Service, the new Secretary of Interior was there, and then a couple of kind of experts, and then some folks from state and local government. Mm-hmm. And the folks from state and local government were basically, here's what we're doing mm-hmm. to fight our own fires.
Wow.
Or here's the support service. Like one of the entities had, their principal support service is to have people who know where all the roads are, mm-hmm. to know where how the mm-hmm. terrain is constructed, to mm-hmm. know all of these sort of things that you need to know.
Right.
So when the feds show up to fight a fire,
right.
they've got an on local
sure.
resource
sure.
on the ground
right. Right.
to help
right.
out.
Right. You know, with this, and I want to jump to one more point because we only got a few more minutes, but it definitely is a unique time period. And it almost seems as if for those who are very interested in the federal government in terms mm-hmm. of jobs, you probably need to very much so. It doesn't mean that you can't keep your eye on the federal government, but it seems like the day is gone where the federal government's got the vacuum cleaner on and they're going to be doing just mass hiring.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
I would.
And so it seems as if it's more of a trickle effect of maybe people who are leaving, mm-hmm. maybe people who can get in through internship programs or whatever. But it's the days of just pure, we're hiring across the board with agencies.
Right.
We're probably not going to see that unless another war breaks out or something happens.
Exactly. I don't think you're going to see it for, you know, at least 2014 is going to be very rough. I think 2015 is going to be very rough. So sometime 2016, maybe, you know, that
sure.
starts. There may be some comeback
changes.
On that. Yeah.
Sure, sure, sure. Even with the military's downsizing. I mean, we've just seen it across the board. You know, I wanted to talk about this Snowden effect type thing, mm-hmm. you know, and we got a few minutes, about 2-3 minutes. But what do you see is the impact mm-hmm. of Snowden, this NSA guy who's mm-hmm. leaked out this information? You know, you did a lot of stuff with recruitment of people. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about, how did this guy get into NSA? How was he recruited? How did he even get into here?
Right.
You know, and a lot of people are asking, you know, in terms of the evaluation of somebody, background investigations and everything else, what do you think is going to be the impact on this? And where do you think we need to go with this?
Well, I think the truth is that the background investigations process, which is the same process applied across the board. So Snowden is a contractor. You have federal employees. There's a discussion about, well, we should insource this from USIS, which is the principal contractor mm-hmm. for both contractors and federal employees
sure,
that does
sure.
background investigations. And they were at one time a part of the Office of Personnel Management. They were spun out as an employee-owned business, mm-hmm. and now they're back in as a contractor. And I think the thing you need to look at is you've got a Cold War, pre-Cold War process that you're attempting to apply, you know, and here we are, 21st century, you know, looking at and looking forward to being able to have a much more modern process. Mm-hmm. And the mm-hmm. problem with the background investigations process is it's a snapshot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we advocate that what should happen is what we call continuous monitoring and risk management. So you get your
security clearance. So not waiting 5 years, not waiting 5 years for a reinvestigation.
Right.
That's no longer
right.
should be the mind frame.
Right. It should be continuous compliance. And a lot of this should involve cyber vetting. And there is no cyber vetting currently.
Hmm.
We're still walking and talking to your
mm-hmm.
neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And your neighbors are now on Facebook. And I think last time I looked, Facebook was the single largest, if they were a country, they would be the largest country
right,
in the world.
Sure. So the number of users on there, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing is—
Whether it be real
is,
or fake, you know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
right.
That's a person.
That's another way. Right.
yeah, so, what has to happen is the background investigations process is just antiquated mm-hmm. and out of touch. And it needs to be changed. And it needs to be not just the initial, but this continuous monitoring and risk management piece of the process. Not that you would catch everything all the time, but you would have a lot better shot at it than you would otherwise, because a lot of the activity that takes place that results in this is mm-hmm. articulated by the people mm-hmm. who do it through social media and other forms of digital presence and digital footprint that's out there. So I think that's one thing about it. I also think that there's a misnomer that somehow the NSA use of contractors for intelligence work is novel, new, or should not happen.
Yeah,
it's been
sure.
around forever.
Right.
And, You know, at one point in time, 50% mm-hmm. of the intelligence analysts in the federal government were contractors.
Yeah, sure.
So I do think it's one of those things where you just got to come into the now on this thing and not be pointing fingers and not be worried about whether it's a federal employee or not a federal employee. It's an interchangeable workforce, mm-hmm. always has been, mm-hmm. and we need to just have a different methodology.
You know, I know you guys, and we've kind of run out of time, but I want to have you come back, and we want to talk about this more. I know this is something that you're looking at mm-hmm. for the future, because it seems to be that the game is, like you said, changing, where we've got a new culture of individuals, whether it be yep. a Bradley Manning or Snowden, yep. Who are younger, who think information should just be free.
Yep.
You know, their mindset is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So the key thing is how do you deal with that? You know, mm-hmm. how do you deal with the new evolution of people? It's not where you just have an Aldrich Ames or a Hanson who got paid for certain things.
Right.
These guys didn't do this for the money. They did it for whatever other reasons.
Right.
So it seems as if we're dealing with a different dynamic. Not to say that those old things are not there, but there's a new game
right.
in town.
Right.
And I want to talk about that next time we have you on, Linda, because I know you guys are looking at that right now.
Yep.
Linda Ricks, she is co-CEO of Aview Technologies. You can find them at aviewtech.com. They've got a number of different services. VetsHQ.com is coming in the next few months. Mm-hmm. AviewCentral.com is their federal job site. Mm-hmm. They've got a number of other things. Their federal, wildland firefighting
exchange.
Services. Their exchange is on there as well, but check them out. They've got a lot of good stuff going on. Thank you as usual,
well,
Linda.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.